Senate Bill 203, enact making supplemental appropriation to the Department of Education providing for effective date. Sign that for Dankworth. Senate Bill 418, enact related to agricultural development projects. Sign that to Senator Sackett. Senate Bill 404, enact relating to the Alaska Industrial Development Authority. Senator Stimson requested that. Senate Bill 200, enact relating to fisheries business tax. Senator Eliason. Jerry, you'd requested SB 404. It was just assigned to you.
Thank you.
Senator Dankworth asked that we take up Senate Bill number 57 this morning. First, should only take a moment. An act relating to transportation safety.
Senate Bill 57,
it's on your desk.
Senate Bill 57 is before us at this time.
Mr. Chairman, as a result of confusion over whether there was a fiscal note on this, of course, this referred back to finance. I checked with the Department of Public Safety yesterday and interviewed Charles Smith and learned the following. There is a fiscal impact. There'll be a fiscal impact of $20,700. It was explained to me that we had an opportunity this year to bring, or in 1982, to bring to Anchorage the federal safety program. I think of some 500 to 1,000 people could come up to Alaska to hold their annual convention or whatever they do in the federal safety program. But the federal funds would not allow the money to set up this convention, so he needed money to put this big program together for that many people coming to town and doing all the other work. He figured it was $10,000. He asked for that, for continuing through 83. And that, of course, in my judgment, should be, and I won't recommend that we deny that. But so the total funding for the convention would be $10,000. Then the Highway Safety Commission that this bill sets up will have some travel, and and they need $10,000, 10.7 for that. So I would recommend that we go with the 10,000 for the convention for 1 year, and the 10,000 for the committee, with a total of 20.7 thousand for 82, and nothing after that.
Any questions, sir? Second.
Why don't we just put the money in the budget?
I have no problem with that at all. In fact, that's probably what.
That's one alternative that we could do. Just put the money into the budget. We don't have to pass a bill in order to accomplish what you're talking about in the fiscal note. Right.
Well, the funding part, but are you saying, Senator Sackett, that we can let 57 go through and just put the amount they need?
No, but I'm saying that if the bill did not pass, you could accomplish the same things without a bill that you're asking for in the fiscal note for the meeting up in Anchorage. You don't need a bill for that part. You could just put that in the budget.
That's true.
Okay. Just one other question, Mr. Chairman. On Dr. Sandra Ferguson, I think, you know, the Alaska Transportation Commission or Alaska Air Carrier Association have a request for a safety program. Is this the one that you're talking about?
No, it isn't. The one they're talking about, I believe, is similar to the bill that's introduced by Farenkamp for a safety program.
Okay, I'm just wondering, Mr. Chairman, perhaps we should combine them or at least look at them at the same time in terms of possible duplication of purpose. In this, we have civil liability for voluntary aircraft safety inspection, which I was led to believe is along the lines of what the Air Care Association through Alaska Transportation Commission is trying to accomplish in order to lower their insurance rates. And then we have the administration of the Highway Safety Program and the creation of a Transportation Safety Commission. But the commission in this bill is only for highways. And I think that, again, the air carriers are attempting to get something along this identical line. And I see us going either two different ways, duplicating or one falling into the cracks. For example, this goes to the Department of Public Safety and the Transportation Safety Commission in the Department of Public Safety, whereas I believe the other one went through Department of Commerce and Economic Development to Alaska Transportation Commission for, again, Transportation Commission safety.
I interviewed, Mr. Chairman, I interviewed some people on that air traffic safety program. If I'm not mistaken, was maybe the proposal I heard, I thought it was legislation, but I thought that was a non-profit organization that was trying to set up an air traffic safety program. I could be in error about that.
I honestly don't know.
Mr. Chairman, for the purpose of this discussion, I think the Senator Sackett makes a good point, and there's no rush on this legislation. Let's hold it in. Give me another day to check this out.
Mr. Chairman.
How about if we schedule it for Saturday morning for the session?
Excellent. That'll give me some time to check out the
report. Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Yeah.
On the bill, I will make some information I have available. I share some of the concerns of Senator Sackett. This is from the Alaskan Air Carriers Association, and I have picked that up. I think that there's the two issues. One is for the volunteers that go out and inspect aircraft, and FAA, I know, is very interested in having them. My question on that would be, if we grant this, it's kind of like the Good Sam or Good Samaritan thing, will that liability be automatically assumed by the federal administration, FAA, so that, you know, that the public will have some recourse in the case there's recourse that needs to be made? That speaks to Section 1. And the second one, section two and on, they're talking about a safety program. They act as though they're already a committee and have been doing this and they've been serving on it for all of these years. But is it mandated by some kind of federal law, and is there an existing commission that could do it? Because we are setting up another group of people that would be kind of on board.
I will, without objection, we'll go ahead and schedule 57 for Saturday morning. We'll pick it up again at that time.
Thank you.
Move back over to the operating budget developments. I think we were at coastal zone management.
We had left that open. Did you want to go back to that at this point, or move on and come back to that other time?
Senator Dacre.
Let me make this motion now. I have a reason to make that, but I'd like to make the motion that we just zero out coastal zone management out of the department. But
all those in favor of zeroing out coastal zone management?
Chairman.
Senator Lyson?
So I understand we do have federal funding for the program this year. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Mr. Chairman.
Senators.
Yes, I would, I don't know why I'm always in a position of trying to defend coastal zone, maybe I shouldn't, but there is a subcommittee of resources that I do not sit on, talking to the bill that's been introduced to repeal coastal zone management. And there have been two teleconferences with extremely intensive, or a whole lot of public testimony, and there's obviously a lot of interest in portions of rural Alaska for the benefits of this program, particularly those that are going to be impacted by oil development. I'm in no way supportive of some of the problems that exist between that and the permitting system. I think we have to work those out. But I think the Meat Act approach is hardly going to benefit the people that have relied on that, have moved ahead to local elections, set up districts. I haven't discussed this in detail, but Senator Stimson did indicate that, did rather intensive work here and cutting back on a number of employees and giving the word that a good deal of tightening up needs to be done. And again, I don't think the Meat Act is going to solve the problem, mainly for rural Alaska that does not have the benefit of planning resources.
Senator Stimson?
Mr. Chairman, I must admit this morning that I approached this whole problem with a little bit different attitude than I had yesterday morning. I've spent a considerable amount of time working with coastal zone management, trying to come up with a compromise, and what appear to be a sincere intent on their part phased down, knowing full well that the sentiments that I've expressed, I think representing many of the senators' viewpoints, are that they can't expect the state to step in and replace those federal funds when they're phased out, or at least they can't expect it to be at the level that it's currently at. And as a result of our work, the House, knowing that I had spent quite a bit of time working on this, went along with the figures that I came up with. And maybe my feeling at this time is inappropriate, I don't know, but I had a commitment that they'd have 16 positions for 6 months and then cut it back to 13 positions. I find out they made a presentation to the House Development Subcommittee yesterday trying to convince them that they should be able to maintain themselves at 16 positions. They also want to strike, or at least we're really questioning the intent language on the loss of federal funds. And both of which leave me very dismayed, because I was trying to approach this in a good faith effort, knowing that it's very difficult for any agency to phase itself out, and I thought that they were making some attempt. I must admit at this point I've lost that faith, and Mr. Chairman, I'm a little bit puzzled as to what is the best direction for this committee to go to make it clear that coastal zone management needs to take some very direct steps to phase itself down. I suppose it's, they did the political thing, but as far as I'm concerned, they've ended up talking out of both sides of their mouth with me, and I've lost a lot of confidence in them at this point.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to maintain my motion if there's no further discussion.
Those in favor of zeroing out coastal zone management, raise your hands. Coastal zone zeroed out. Proceed on.
Mr. Chairman, I suppose it depends on how quick we want to proceed from this budget. I'm tempted to take you to the other end of the budget. We could start with national forest receipts and work forward. The next item is the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation.
Can I suggest we be quick and dirty?
What,
which page are you on, Senator?
We are on page 8.
What happened to page 5? Alaska Energy Center?
We held that open. Did you want to go back to that again?
Yes, so do it in an orderly manner.
Pardon?
Let's do it.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dankworth.
I'd like to move that we zero out the Alaska Energy Center.
I object, Mr. Chairman. I don't... It seems to me like, especially from the comments yesterday, that we may be... making decisions prematurely on an organization that's just attempting to get off the ground. I've served on that board. I'm very impressed with the caliber of individuals on there. I think they're very committed to exploring alternative sources of energy in the state. I don't think the answer to all our energy problems is hydro, and I think that the caliber of people that are working on this concept at this point provides the state for the opportunity for some really exciting things in the field of energy. The whole concept behind the creation of the Alaska Energy Center was to explore alternative energy sources and within a 10-year time frame to have a self-sustaining organization that is producing jobs in the private sector. From the conversations I've been involved in, the deliberations at the center, I'm convinced it can happen. And Mr. Chairman, I object to the motion, and I support the figures that I've worked up with the House jointly.
Senator Stimson, if I might, of course, I'm a strong supporter of the Energy Center. And, I was wondering, in your testimony that you received from them, did they touch on how or why that some of the people were receiving $350 a day per diem that are involved in this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that is established in the legislation. That was the per diem figure that was in the law that we passed. And the idea was so that we could attract people of national stature in the field of energy.
These people that I understand are getting this are not national people. They're people who work right in Anchorage and in Fairbanks and in these areas.
Well,
they haven't been attracted from anywhere other than the normal community. I don't understand.
Well,
though I'm a total supporter of it.
There is a distinction, I think, in terms of the, or let me say this, I don't think there's any distinction made in the legislation on who the board members are that receive the per diem. I can assure you the legislators don't receive that level of per diem. But all I can say is it was established in law, and no, there haven't been any discussions. I could see why it might be a concern in terms of it being an inordinate amount for people of the state.
Senator Dankler?
Well, just before I'll continue my motion, but I want to make this comment. I think this program was probably the purpose of it was well-meaning. But I think it was thrown together and ill conceived, and we just threw a lot of money at rather a motherhood issue. It's not being used the way it was. I think that they went out and hired a director at $89,000 a year, $20,000 more than we pay the governor of Alaska. It's obscene. And I think it just irritates me that we take a program and misuse it. The $350 a day per dime for those people is just ridiculous. And the people of Alaska want this kind of thing stopped. Now, if we could have put this program back into something reasonable that will accomplish these ends, like other commissions and other directors have to live by, then I'll make a later motion to put it back in. But until we get that corrected, I'm not going to support that. So my motion stands.
This information, on the grants and the claims section, they're looking at it as a capital appropriation and appreciating Senator Sackett's comments yesterday about the revolving nature of that program. I'd still like to know, how do they arrive at that figure or any other figure? What's the basis of that? For instance, my office was visited yesterday, and I'm sure some of yours were, about someone interested in a peat development project, and they've been talking to the Energy Center. How do they anticipate what they're going to be looking at in that regard?
Senator Sackett?
Elmer, you might pass out the information. We did some research from yesterday, and as I indicated, what occurred during the last part of the session was that they came in with approximately $12 million of requests from the House, and I arbitrarily just reduced it to $6 million. I put in a new fiscal note. At that point in time, there wasn't any backup information as to how the entire $6 million would be utilized. And you see in the background information, backup information, that subsequently they came in with a recommended breakdown in operating capital for that $6 million figure. We did not have that information at the time that we passed it from the Senate. And so it's my feeling that, they made up their own operating budget, which is extremely invaded, in my opinion. And what was left in the balance is what went into the grants.
Senator Dankler?
I'd like to ask Senator Sackett, what do they, like in the director, I should know this, like the director's salary, who authorized that position? Does it go through budget management? Does it, I can't find any PCN anywhere for that position. Don't they have to, is this a CIP position type thing, or?
Mr. Chairman, the way this organization is structured, they do not fall within, they wouldn't have PCN numbers.
They're not under control.
Yeah, well, no. They are in the Executive Budget Act, so we've got more to say about them than we do about CFAP or something like that. But the point is, they do have the latitude with the legislation they have to make independent decisions like that. And they coordinated quite closely with the Department of Administration. And the Department of Administration has shared some of the same frustration you're expressing, but they do not fall under them in terms of the personnel classification.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
I'd like to pursue, and perhaps Senator Sackett or Elmer has the information. They came in, it'd be interesting to see what this would have been had not Senator Sackett cut that from 12 to 6. But since you did, you had your 4.3 capital shown here. Now they're coming in for, I assume that would be equivalent to the grants and claims of 4.7. But they're just underway. I don't think that they've actually let any contracts, have they? And are we just putting, say, from fiscal year 80, would be 81, I would assume, fiscal year 81, did we put in 4.3 that has not been funded, and now we're putting in another 4.7, I mean, it'll come out of capital, but it still goes to that same fund. Is that what we're saying, that we'll then have 9 million before we let contract one? Senator Simpson?
Ms. Chairman, the Alaska Energy Center is in the process now of letting contracts, and it is my understanding that by the end of this fiscal year, they expect to have been able to use all of the funds that have been allocated for this fiscal year. And as you can see from the fiscal note before you, they were originally projected to have an additional 11 million for fiscal year 82, and instead they've come back in for a request of 6 million for this, for 4,748,000 for the capital, for the grants themselves.
Mr. Chairman, just to pursue that, in other words, they have not, they're entering into contracts that would use up the fiscal year 81 appropriation.
That's
is
correct.
Is that correct?
And it is in the operating budget, so they will lose it if they haven't used it by July 1st. Elmer, did you want to add anything to that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that at least it would all be encumbered by the end of the fiscal year. I'm not certain whether it would all be expended by that date. But I know they've been working with the Division of Budget Management. I think that's where the budget amendment came in. And the feeling was that they would be able to have it encumbered by the end of fiscal year 81.
Senator Dinkley?
Elmer, are you saying that they just brought a director on board in the last 30 days and they're going to spend this $4 million just so they can meet the deadline?
I don't believe it will all be spent, Mr. Chairman. However, as I said, I think there's another aspect of this. In the statute that creates the Energy Center, it states specifically that the funds for the projects of the Energy Center shall not lapse. So you wouldn't think they would have this problem of encumbering funds, but the fact that it was funded in a fiscal note last year, and the fiscal note funds being funds that would lapse on June 30th, it's an ambiguous situation where they really have to encumber those funds anyway, because it says in the statute that they would not lapse, but they feel to be safe, they should try to encumber those funds.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Zelensky?
Were you, Senator Simpson, given a list of the projects that they're proposing for the 4.7? Again, the recommendation is being zeroed out and going to the capital appropriation, but was that a part of the presentation?
Did we get a copy of that, do you recall?
Now, this would be for the prospective 82.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that information is contained in the budget amendment that was sent over by the Division of Budget Management.
It's not, Mr. Chairman, it's not as if they waited until they could get an executive director to start looking at the various proposals. They've been doing that since last fall, so they've been waiting for an executive director to go ahead and administer those. Senator Dankwood?
I'd like to. No, it's kind of like talking about a motherhood issue. I don't have any problem with the Energy Center, but it needs to be looked at and redone. It's not done properly. This is not the way to run an organization. I know they've gone out and left $350,000 contract to the University of Alaska by one of the board members that was on the board. Then they had to go get, I've read the minutes of the meetings where they had to make sure that wasn't a problem the way that came about. I just think that this whole Energy Center is something that, again, that we're throwing money at a motherhood issue with no plan. It's almost like agriculture. I can't get my hands on agriculture either. You know, every time somebody walks in here with $10 million to put something somewhere, nobody can justify it. Other than somewhere down the line, that maybe after $100 million, we'll tie all this together. No one's ever been able to convince me that this is going to be self-supporting. I can't understand where this comes along and suddenly it's going to start paying its own way. With that kind of money, no outfit could ever afford an $89,000 a year director. No business could. So I'm just lost there. It just sounds good. And we left these little phrases like, oh, it'll be self-supporting in a few years. By who? Of what?
By the state.
By the state. It's a direction. Anyway, I'd like to renew my motion.
Motion before the committee to zero out Alaska Energy Center. All those in favor, raise your hand. 4-3. Thank you. Moving right along.
The motion passed. Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation, what we've done is essentially taken what the governor has proposed, but we have deleted two positions for Anchorage and moved them to Fairbanks to create a Fairbanks office for the Alaska Renewable Resources Corporation. And there were some attendant expenses to that, with salaries being a little bit higher with the area differential and some office expenses. And that was an increase of $76,000
Mr. Chairman,
no, $7,500
Is there a second?
Oh, just one question. I see those positions were in contractual last year. They were they a part of Chapter 33 FLA 80 or and in a separate addition?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that there was one position approved last year. The Alaska, a new position, Alaska Renewable Resources, split that into two positions at no additional cost, including an investment officer. And then rather than going with the senior investment officer position, they created two positions of lesser cost. So that's
right, but were those two people in contractual under whatever Chapter 33 SLA is?
No.
Were they in the $217,400 in contractual?
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to check. I don't believe so, but I'd have to check.
Okay, second question. Do you know why they were put in contractual
last year? I'll have to check, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, there's a governor's amendment that shifts $30,000 from the contractual to the travel category with the concern being that they would have more in-house staff necessitating travel there and less contractual needs. There's also an additional amount for equipment that is picked up for the Fairbanks office at $4,000. We have a letter from Mark that has states that our last regular, this is dated April 13, 1981. It's to Representative Buckhold, and it says that our last regular board meeting, it was formally agreed that ARC proceed to establish a presence in Fairbanks. We have proceeded to look for office space and that type of thing. Their request, of course, is that we add additional positions for the Fairbanks office. We have instead taken them out of the Anchorage office and shifted them to the Fairbanks office.
Senator Dankworth, or Senator Ferguson?
Well, I wanted to ask one question before, if I may, before me. That $15 million that we, Senator, didn't we move $15 million into here somewhere last year?
Second.
No, it was for the provide financial assistance to commercial purchases of the 1980 Salmon Harvest. I'm going to withdraw my question because I already know the answer to it.
Senator Ferguson?
Mr. Chairman, I think the intent of ARC has expanded so much that we're losing control. I believe the makeup of the ARC needs to be changed. The dollar amounts for the directors needs to be changed. So I'd move that we zero out ARC.
You save a lot of money with this budget.
You're doing a great job.
Sure glad I put in all the
you get that for sure if you save.
Did I
I get 10% of what
Yeah, they use not the projects.
That gives me a little more incentive.
That's a good average.
There's a motion before the committee to this time zero out ARC. All those in favor of zeroing out ARC, raise your hand. 4-3.
I must have missed that meeting.
And moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I did understand the vote correctly. We just zeroed out ARC.
Yes, correct.
No. How much have we saved up to this point?
Doing well.
Oh, we haven't spent anything.
Mr. Chairman, I think the Senate Finance Committee is extremely efficient. Very impressive.
Conservative, too, eh?
I know how we don't need a constitutional amendment to stop the budget growth.
This correct.
We operate on the zero-based budget.
Mr. Chairman, I'm hesitant to proceed.
Or John, with vigor, you're doing well.
Taxpayers are going to love you.
All right, we're on page 13, and this is the shared taxes, municipal assistance. And as you look at these figures, what we have is the Department of Revenue. Well, let me back up just a little bit. The governor, the original request that had come in from the governor was $92 million for this program. That turns out to have been a clerical error, and they picked up the wrong number. And so the governor came in with an amendment to adjust that figure. And it was based on the revenues in January of $805 million. And of course, this is where we use 10% of the corporate oil and gas taxes to establish this municipal assistance level. So it would have been, at that point, $80,500,000. What the most recent figures we have as of March make that figure $874 million, which, if we wanted to fully fund municipal assistance, is $87,400,000. Mr. Chairman, the House funded that at $56,500,000, and their intent, I would like to have you just take a look at the intent for a second, because I think the concept is good, and if it's good, I'm sorry I didn't do it myself. It says, it is the intent of the legislature to make a supplemental appropriation for municipal assistance in fiscal year 82, provided that recipients of fiscal year 81 municipal assistance funds use those funds for local tax relief. And the concern that I had would be that we would be almost operating contrary to what we did this year. One of our first actions was to pass a bill to fully fund municipal assistance. So I put in the figure of $87,400,000, Mr. Chairman, which would represent 10% of the revenues, $874 million as of March. I don't have, well, let me just stop.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator?
Question. I'm surprised that the legislation does not call for a date where you ascertain it on a specific date. Am I correct that there is not?
No, there isn't. And specifically because, as you probably recall, that 10% is a complete discretionary figure. Mm-hmm. You never have funded at that level anyways. I mean, up until this year. So I think that was just a general guide. And to my knowledge, there is no specific date we use, is there? So that's rather arbitrary.
Senator Beckwith?
Is this based, the law says it's based on 10% of the revenue of the previous year.
That's correct.
And is that, was that the figure? I thought 92 was the figure. I thought that's where you made his mistake.
It is.
92, and that was the current year, projected current year. And he should have gone back to the previous year, and that's why he subtracted 11.
No, Mr. Chairman, if I understand correctly, we're projecting for fiscal year 82, right? But we're using the figures from 81 to do that. He made a clerical error, and I think the intent was to bring it in line with January 1981. Is that correct, Elmer?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I suppose I don't understand that. I thought that the law required that we do not, we would project, that it was set, the 82 would be set by 10% of the previous year's income off the oil and gas. I didn't know whether we just projected it or guessed at it. I thought that's the way it was automatically set. If we wanted to fund it, we couldn't have funded it above that level. I don't have the statute.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to, if we could quickly take a look at that statute. It's 90% of some figure, isn't it? And I'd like to see what that
is. Why do we,
could
well,
we hold that?
We can either hold it open, because we're not going to finish up this morning. And why don't we hold this one open so that the will take a look at it.
I like having ready for
tomorrow. I thought you would.
One suggestion I might make, or that you might consider giving to the staff, is that on the governor's amendments, where you have it in this printout, that in addition to just the dollar figure, they give a small explanation as to what it is. Because otherwise we have no idea, either from the short form or the short form, what it is. My other comment is, and this is just a personal bias, is that really I don't give a damn what the House does at this point in time. I think it just takes up a lot of extra time looking at it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm beginning to think I operated under a real misconception. But I was told when I was given a budget that whatever I could jointly agree with the House on, we would have a commitment. You've proven to me this morning that was not a clear and honest statement to me. And that is the reason I included the House figures. Had I known that it would make no difference, you sure as hell wouldn't have House figures included here.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I just said, when I was told we were going to have joint committees, I was told if we could come to an agreement with the House on a BRU, that was essentially the commitment that we would make, and that the Senate Finance Committee would support the subcommittee. That's not at all what's happened this morning. It's clear to me that my efforts trying to work jointly with the House were a waste of time.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
sure, Lincoln.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think maybe where that there's some misguiding is that anything has to pass this committee right here. And certainly anything that is done jointly, in fact, by the House and by the Senate, and it passes their body, we have no assurance it's going to pass their committee. If it passes this committee, then it goes into pre-conference committee, and that's where the savings is. That once that they're together there, then there's a commitment. But it still has to go through due process. Just because yourself is a subcommittee member and a subcommittee member of the House both agree, that doesn't mean the House Finance Committee nor the Senate Finance Committee is going to be locked in. But when the two of them are locked in together after the two committees have respectfully acted, well then this is where there's a commitment that we're going to hold the line unless there's just something absolutely.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I think there has been confusion, and I'll be, when the transportation budget comes, I spent an awfully, because I think Terry raised a very important thing, and I think it's the kind of thing that maybe I'm hopeful next year we can have some really specific guidelines. Representative Freeman and I spent a lot of time just talking before we started the process on the budget of how we would approach it, and we came to some conclusions regarding the fact that the capital improvements positions were not there, that it was very difficult to get a control on the whole budgetary process when we didn't have everything under the Budget Act. And so the way we came out essentially on the budget, we had agreement and had set some priority things that I brought to you, the position control issue and the capital improvement. Then I find that when this went into the House, they utilized a set of criteria very different than the ones that Representative Cotton has had, and they're completely different. And I'm not making a value judgment as to good or bad, but it meant that this kind of agreement that we had had, that we essentially came out with right down the line, the intent provision, the carrying forward, working out the questions that had been raised in the various audits, and then all of a sudden it became a new ballgame. So I think that it has created, I share Senator Simpson's concern, operating on a set of principles, in a sense I did, and then it just all sort of went somewhere. So here we are back to what we had hoped to avoid, I think, was the complete, if you will, autonomy and flexibility then of the Free Conference Committee. And that's not said in any judgment of that system. But I would hope next year there might be a way to be a little bit more clear on how we move ahead. It seemed in Senator Ferguson's case that it worked relatively well, that particular approach. There were common goals, and with some exception in there, in fact, it did work, but it's certainly not working here.
So that was my response to that, too. I know with my working with the House, it worked just about like it did with Senator Ferguson. I think we found ourselves close together on just about everything. I didn't want any new positions in places, and some places I put them in where they didn't, but I tried to follow the guidelines set up by the Senate committee. So far, Senator Simpson, it would appear to me that, if we zero out something, when we take it out of the budget completely, that's not a reflection that we don't agree with your figure or the House figure. So far, we've gone through three categories and we zeroed those out. But the ones that are left, maybe I just haven't. And it's not bound until the final show when we put it all together, how close we'll be. But I think it's going to make a world of difference as to how when we get to Free Conference, I think it's going to make a lot of difference. Your efforts will be well recognized as useful when that happens, if those figures are close together.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I guess, Senator Dinkworth, what I would have to say is the frustration that I experience and what I've tried to avoid in approaching this budget is that as far as I'm concerned, when this committee sits here and zeroes out a budget, it's basically for show in most cases, because we know somewhere along the line we're going to have to make some compromises and work something out. And I know with some of these budgets there was strong sentiment, and I spent a lot of time trying to search out some compromises so that we wouldn't have to do the zeroing out, and which won't mean anything in the end. Every damn one of those BRUs is going to be back in here in some form. And it just perturbs me that we take an action like that doesn't represent a sincere, I don't believe, a sincere position of what's ultimately going to come out of this process. And you're right, I was totally confused on the way this budget process was to work, and I regret having put as much energy into trying to coordinate things with the House as I have.
Well,
Mr. Chairman, if you'll turn to page 15, we have amusement and gaming tax, which the Senate just accepted the governor's figures. The aviation fuel tax, Senate took the governor's figures. Electric and telephone tax, governor's figures. Liquor license tax, governor's figures. Fisheries tax, governor's figures.
A question on the fisheries tax, if you might, more for what's happening out there. It looks like, page 22, this is reflecting the passage of the raw fish tax. Did you receive, where are we? Oh, that's liquor. Did you receive any testimony on that at all? Senator, as to how that program was working?
I think, Senator Strzelewski, you may be confusing that with another category. This is just a formula. Is that the...
Okay.
That's the amount of tax that's going to be distributed.
Are you talking about...
I'm sorry, I've got a wrong line here. This...
You're talking about the fisheries tax that was imposed for the aquaculture SOP.
This doesn't come in here.
We'll get to that one.
Okay, fine.
This is strictly a formula program. Okay, Mr. Chairman, the Municipal Bond Make Authority, page 25, Elmer.
Mr. Chairman, are we moving these figures on the shared taxes at this point?
We left that open.
What?
Municipal assistance.
For the shared taxes after municipal assistance.
Oh, all the rest of those.
If they are closed.
Mr. Chairman, I think, aren't we following Senator Sackett's proposal yesterday that unless there's an objection, it goes to carry?
Okay, we did leave municipal assistance open. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, on the Municipal Bond Bank Authority, Senate accepted the governor's figures. An additional $20,000 was added. It was a tardy request that came in from the Municipal Bond Bank Authority for contractual services for bond rating for a total of $345.4. Any questions on this? Mr. Chairman, the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation is page 27. We accepted the governor's figures on that.
Senator Sackett.
Since this is a new program, were you able to go back with any attach looking at their past year's appropriated money?
Mr. Chairman, we did receive a copy of their current year's budget. However, it's very difficult to have any prior year information. Alaska Housing Finance really took off as of July 1 as a result of Senate Bill 1 last year. I have a copy of their budget for the current year.
But they've been in existence for a number of years, and they should have regular state forms existing for example, actual 1980.
Mr. Chairman, FY82 is the first year that the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation will be under the executive budget.
I know that, but they should already have existed under a state entity anyway.
Mr. Chairman, I have a copy of their current year budget, and that's all I have.
And how about actual for 1980?
No, Mr. Chairman, I do not have that.
Okay.
Information.
Would you be able to ask them for that information?
Certainly.
For actual 1980, the present one, and then run through an analysis on personal services and increases, etc.
Senator Ferguson.
I think this is a policy question, but are we going to allow for the Housing Authority to have a lobbyist? I mean, we're putting state money in, and they're turning around and using it.
Senator Dankwood.
We had a lobbyist?
Yeah.
All of that gripes me.
REAAs have a lot of
rep theater.
Who's the AHFC lobbyist?
I didn't know that.
Bill Miles?
Yes, I didn't know that. He didn't lobby on this?
Nobody lobbied him.
You know,
I think it's a really important question.
It is. Senator Dankwood?
Well, I said the same thing he did. I think it's important, and I think Ferguson's right, but maybe not on this one particular. We'll take it out on this one particular thing.
We might leave this open anyway.
There's other things hanging on this. Let's hold this open, and we'll be back to it.
Mr. Chairman, just one additional question on that.
We
were trying to hold it open. I see their direct, that program receipts or their funding source, how do they? Do they take that out of, they show program receipts?
From the sale of
they're from their sale and
what they generate.
what they generate.
Anything further on HMC?
We'll hold that open.
He's an employee.
As chairman, then the economic enterprise category, if you will turn to page 37. Under special development projects, the increase under personal services represents elimination of the vacancy assessment there. We also have a reduction of 22,100 for the International Trade Commission. There's language on that, the administrative order number 57, creating the Trade Commission, and the order has expired at the end of the 11th legislature, so those funds were subtracted for a total of 374.7.
Senator, second.
You increase personal services, what does that?
Eliminating the vacancy factor of
23.8%. The governor had 192.2, unless there's...
So
there's
216.
I don't know where it comes from. How do you go from 192 up to 216?
Well, they had carried, been carrying a fairly large vacancy factor.
No. The governor came in with a recommendation of 192,200 for mm-hmm. personal services. Mm-hmm. You recommend 216,000.
Yeah, I don't understand why I haven't answered you.
You put back vacancy?
Yeah, we brought up the vacancy amount, you see. Any further questions on that, Captain?
Nothing. Mr. Chairman, there was some requests made by me to you, and I don't know whether this is the right page, but I'm just wondering why we didn't try to accommodate some of the requests. I don't know whether this is the page that they go on.
Well, I'm not aware that this is a component that you wanted anything in.
Okay.
Do you remember, Elmer? Where is it? Do you have the request that he wrote? No, his request. Where are they?
I don't know if this is the component in here, but...
We can leave it open if you want to. We just got that request last night.
The one last night goes in another section, so this may not be the component.
Okay.
We'll leave this open. Want this stuff open?
No.
Go ahead. Close it up then.
We can close it?
Okay.
Page 39, minerals development. We have the governor's amendment to add additional staff in the Fairbanks office, and we essentially just accepted the governor's figures for that category. The hydrocarbon development, Mr. Chairman, our approach was that is there are no positions filled at this time. It appears as if the primary work that they are doing could be accomplished by the Royalty Oil and Gas Board. It's my proposal that we zero out the hydrocarbon development. And we're going to be adding some funds to the Royalty Oil and Gas Board to do what it appears the hydrocarbon development category was supposed to be doing.
Mr. Chairman, on that, with the establishment of Mr. Sims and the program in Fairbanks, is, did you take a look to see whether minerals development might be a more appropriate place? The hydrocarbon fit under, it could really go either way.
Well, the study was a specific study of alternatives to oil and gas, and sounded as if, well, as a matter of fact, Royal Oil and Gas Board had made a similar request, didn't they? So we thought it would be appropriate to shift it over there. Anything further on that? Okay, Mr. Chairman, page 44 is the commercial fisheries development. It represents the bottom fish category. I've sent you and Senator Dankworth a memo suggesting that the capital funding for bottom fish not be funded, and we've spent quite a bit of time looking at this category, and I guess our general approach to it is that we have we're spending a lot of time planning, but there's a real question about how much is really resulting in productivity. And so what I am proposing to the committee is that we use the, well, I have personal services 225.6, travel 26.4, under contractual, I have 502.5, but what I want to do is reduce that to 33.5. And commodities 2.6 for a total of 757.1. What I have cut out, Mr. Chairman.
What is the 756? What page is that?
That's page 44.
Mr. Chairman? Those have been removed from the short form. Do you need to have
that?
Pardon? Those figures have been removed from the short form.
Oh, I see. Pardon me. I'm using an older copy.
Yeah, I've had a little confusion. Several things are gone. But it makes it extraordinarily difficult.
I apologize.
To check on what you want.
Okay.
The ICO are 288,000.
Total?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it would be, yes. Because, pardon me. Well, what is this doing?
In the cap, what we, you see in, what they had proposed, this all gets rather complicated, but
in the capital budget, they had interagency receipts being transferred into these various categories. And we've essentially cut out 469,000, I guess, out of the contractual category. If you cut the capital budget, then it won't reflect, they can't use it in the operating budget, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Maybe you could explain.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
You follow me, okay. And if you're interested, I can give you a list of the projects that they were going to do. We've used them extensively, and I'm not convinced they're yet on the right track as far as bottom fish goes. And so we're essentially saying they've got their office, they've got some staff, they can do some planning, but we're not going to move in any $6 million direction towards this 20-year plan of bottom fish development, and that we'd much rather have communities come back in with site-specific plans.
And I've worked very closely with Senator Eliason. We have a component we want to look at in the university budget that may also address bottom fish.
Well, did you allow the position?
Yes.
What was the justification for another secretary if we're going to cut what they're doing?
Well, most of what they were requesting was uncontractual. And so what they were asking for, they've shifted the office to Anchorage and are trying to move most of their staff up there. And Mr. Chairman, I don't have any strong feeling about whether we retain that position or not, but we have just allowed them to keep that secretary.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, could you give us just a brief overview of what will happen to the thrust that's going on in bottom fishing as a result of the action? We don't have the capital budget before us, but obviously those implications are here and you've made a recommendation. What happens to the work that's been done? What will happen during the next year, bottom fishing? I did not receive a copy of the memorandum.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, the approach that the bottom fish committee, whatever the proper title is, I'm not sure, has come up with is to take a lead agency, the Department of Commerce and Economic Development, and have them provide the direction for a half dozen other agencies. And the activities include such things as a bottom fish community assistance, bottom fish ports and transportation, bottom fish resource assessment, bottom fish regulation development, bottom fish management action, bottom fish catch reporting, bottom fish observers, port sampling, bottom fish logbook fish ticket correlation, bottom fish profiles, bottom fish production trials, bottom fish labor force study. My concerns stem from two basic areas. One is we have research studies that are in complete contradiction with each other. The one that I am relying on most heavily says that if we develop this bottom fish market, we're probably not going to be creating jobs for Alaskans. And that's a big factor in my mind. Through our discussions, we agreed that the most immediate kind of concerns that exist right now are to do an inventory and assessment of the current conditions of bottom fish, what types of fish are out there, and also to move ahead with marketing. It will be my recommendation when we get to the fish and game budget that we add some additional money, and what we have in here is about $50,000 under the category of bottom fish profiles. Do you recall?
Mr. Chairman, there is serious
components of the capital budget that would go to fish and game. They would be the log interview program, service and sampling, catch reporting, management action, regulation development, and resource assessment. Those programs appear in the operating budget in the Mermaid category under the component called ground fish. They're funded as interagency. It shows interagency receipts in the operating budget in NERMEC, but the interagency receipts are in fact the general funds from the capital budget here. So it would be a matter of funding them with general funds in the NERMEC budget, and then the capital budget items could be dropped if the committee desired to continue the fish and game operation.
The other
Senator, did you feel I wasn't pleased with the justification for another secretary one. Unless you feel strong about that, I'd like to make a motion that Secretary Warren be taken out.
I have no problem with
maybe
that.
The analyst has.
Mr. Chairman, the entire Division of Economic Enterprise was reorganized last year into these four special offices. It was originally thought that the Commercial Fisheries Development Office would be in Juneau as the Minerals Development Office. As it turned out, the Minerals Office is in Fairbanks and the Commercial Fisheries Office is in Anchorage. There are two secretary positions, this one for the commercial fisheries and a secretary for the minerals office in Fairbanks to provide staff support for those offices. They were relying on the Juneau support office, but since the decision was made to move those offices to Anchorage and Fairbanks, they felt they needed two secretarial positions.
Did they take any out of Juneau?
No, Mr. Chairman, they did not.
We just added them all and then moved
them. That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Mr.
Chairman, it was rather a strange procedure, as I understand it, that person coming on board was given the opportunity to select which one to put the office. Now, I don't know if that's common practice in state government or not, but she chose to put it in Anchorage.
Which means that part of the staff will be here and part will be here.
And part of the staff are being terminated because they do not want to move.
Move we eliminate the position.
All those in favor of any other discussion on it? Eliminating the position. 2, 3, 4, 5. It's eliminated.
Anything further, Mr. Chairman?
Moving right along.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, by the way, one of the, we're going to hear a lot of screaming and yelling about what we've done in bottom fish, there's no doubt in my mind. But one of our approaches is, this is like the first step of a 20-year plan. There's nothing wrong with us stepping back, saying we're not pleased with the direction we're going with bottom fish. A year is not going to hurt this program at this point in time if we have a delay in some of these major concepts they have.
That is equal time concept, Senator Elijah.
Mr. Chairman, would you elaborate on this teleconference we had as it related to the bottom fish program? I think that's interesting what happened there.
I might emphasize, Mr. Chairman, that Senator Elias and I have worked closely on the total budget, so I have some expertise in trying to make some decisions. I've also tried to work with the other senators that would be involved with bottom fish because of their respective communities, and I felt like they've been very supportive of what direction we've ended up going here. We did hold a teleconference statewide, and the concern that we heard expressed consistently was that there was a lot of studying going on and very little in the way of tangible products, and a real concern about whether, in fact, we were going in the right direction. I think from that hearing, we decided that what Fish and Game is doing is important, and we need to be exploring some marketing strategies. I think in addition, we also felt as if somewhere along the line, we need to get very realistic about the fact that if we're going to do bottom fish in some areas, then we have to have the on-site facilities, we have to have cold storage facilities and that type of thing. But it seemed to us that there's no reason why the communities themselves can't identify those needs and come back in to us. So was there anything I missed that you wanted me to mention?
Well, there was a total lack of faith in the program,
yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah.
And I felt... We felt that in some cases, the fact that the state had a bottom fish program sort of held back the other industries from really getting involved themselves because they were waiting for the state to spearhead it. And consequently, I feel 3 years went down the tube.
Just a comment. Will the communities do their own assessment with the postal zone?
Not the way it is now. I thought I had a total package put together. Mr. Chairman,
I just wanted to comment. I want to say I think you did a good job on that. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you. There aren't going to be many people that are. The only people that are excited about the bottom fish are the people that are involved working with bottom fish right now.
That goes for energy. In state government.
All right.
What page is it? 45?
Mr. Chairman, on page 45, economic enterprise in the administration,
as Elmer mentioned, they've gone through a reorganization. We're not real excited about the reorganization they've gone through, and we have deleted the vacant deputy commissioner position. So they won't be adding any more administration, and that reduces our figure down 35.1 from the governor's figure in personal services and other related costs to that position for a total of $226,000.
Is that a second? How long is this going to take?
They essentially reorganized, what, about 6 months ago?
Mr. Chairman, the printout that we get that shows vacant position shows that position has been vacant for over a year.
Do you have the exact date?
It shows on the printout as being over a year. I do not have the exact date, but it would be since the reorganization, which is going to cost you a year.
Isn't it, in fact, a new position, though?
That is correct.
So that position has never been filled, is my understanding. They've reorganized it, and they've just never filled the position yet. One of the how were you able to associate $15,200 in travel with that one position?
Mr. Chairman, there are no other professional positions in this
in this component, there is a administrative officer. The travel for these various components in economic enterprise has been averaging approximately 6,700 per professional position. It was somewhat arbitrary that we allowed the administrative officer for the division to have half the amount of travel that the regular professional positions would have, approximately half, a little more. In fact, 5,200 travel that you see, or 5,000 travel you see here, would be for the administrative officer position. There are no other professional positions in this category.
This is not where the director would be?
There is no longer a director of the Division of Economic Enterprise.
What is that guy's name that used to be?
What is he now? He's head of which category?
Mr. Chairman, he is the office director of the Office of Special Industrial Projects.
Okay, looking for that. Okay, no questions. Mr. Chairman, you want to continue on at this time?
I was going to say we're pressing the clock right now. Why don't we go ahead and close it off right here, and tomorrow morning we'll try to do it. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to comment on this one? If not,